Ready?
Our evening began in Peter Seychelles' comfortable study in his New York townhouse.
No sleep till
Brooklyn!
Yeah! Brooklyn Bronx, Queens, and Staten. From the Battery to the top of Manhattan.
Yo, rope!
Hello there, everyone, or as Lil Wayne would say,
hello, 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 hey, how you doing?
My name is Jim Shear, and welcome to the Brouhaha. On today's episode, we will be joined by Rob Niebling. And who is this tour de force Rob Niebling, you may ask? He is one of the people responsible for filming, technically taping, the cinematic masterpiece, Awesome, I Shot That. And today I will just call it Awesome I Shot That, because you guys know where I stand on swearing. And I remember when the movie came out, our good friend Troy, aka Smooth, he was not happy with the title. He sent me an email and he wrote, oh, I don't like that title. Why do they have to call it that? And I can see where Troy's coming from, because I do like the title and I don't like the title. I'm torn. I like the title because I like when the Beastie Boys do whatever the heck they want to do. If they want to put a swear word in the title of their movie, if they want to put swear words in their songs, then who am I to stop them? They're on a different genius level than I am. I also like the title because it ties in with the opening scene of the movie. You know, the camera sensei slash Jedi, he's giving the orientation. And then he said, one day you're going to look back at this and you're going to say, awesome, I effing shot that. And the first time I saw the movie, I was like, whoa! That's where the title came from. And by calling your movie Awesome, I Effin' Shot That, it guarantees that it's going to be a rated R movie, which guarantees that less people are going to see it. So I love the fact that the Beastie Boys didn't make this for money, they made it for art. The reason I don't like the title, though, is A, it makes us all sound like a bunch of truck drivers. And then the Beastie Boys, they were promoting it on the late night talk show circuit, and it seems like every host had something to say about that freaking title. On a nightly basis, they'd be like, tonight we've got the Beastie Boys promoting their brand new film, Awesome, I Shot That. There's another word in there, but we can't say that on TV! Blah, 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 blah. And it was funny the first time, but the gag got old, and the gag was like 10 or 15 seconds long. And that's 10 or 15 seconds they took away from the Beastie Boys. Also, I usually do not like longer titles. And for the most part, the Beastie Boys have kept it tight over the years. License to Ill, Paul's Boutique, Check Your Head, Hello Nasty. Got a little long with Two of the Five Boroughs. Got a little long with Awesome I Effin' Shot That. Keeping the theme going, getting a little long too with Hot Sauce Committee Part 1. And then the final reason that I don't like the title is because I knew that it was going to be edited down anyway. Because on the copy that I own, there is no swear word in sight. So if it's going to be edited down, why did you even use a swear word? But that goes back to one of the reasons that I like the title. The Beastie Boys do whatever the heck they want to do. So yes, on today's show, we will talk to Rob Niebling, one of the 50 cameramen who shot Awesome, I effin' shot that. He shot it. And I guess there was, if I'm doing the math correct, there were 50 amateurs, quote-unquote amateurs, we will talk about that. And then there were 11 professionals, I'm guessing, because when they go to the full grid screen, it is 8x8, do the math, that's 64, and there's always three blank screens, 61 cameras. We will discuss this, though, when Rob comes in. But before that happens, somebody took me up on my Beastie Boys remix request. Rhodey, who has a whole bunch of remixes over at the fabulous website, beastiemixes.com, sent me a link to his page, and I dug one of his remixes. And I'm going to play one right now. And just so all of you know, an easy way to get to the bottom of my heart is to send me big, chunky Chemical Brothers beats behind Beastie Boys lyrics. And in this remix, Rhodey, that is spelled R-O-D-I, once again, you can check out his mixes, his remixes, over at beastiemixes.com. It's a lot of mixes. I lost my train of thought. But on Rhodey's mix that I'm going to play right now, he takes Rhyme the Rhyme Well from the Beastie Boys, mashes it up with The Boxer, a fabulous track off the Chemical Brothers' Push the Button album. And the reason I like this mix, BPM, they're synced up, the BPM of Rhyme the Rhyme Well and The Boxer. Love the fact that when MCA rhymes Batten Down the Hatches, he uses Down from the Beastie Boys and Down from the Chemical Brothers simultaneously. And at the end of the song, you gotta love the E.F. Hutton shout-out from Ad Rock. And then you have to love how Rhodey extends it. And I don't know if any of you kids remember the old E.F. Hutton commercials. There was like a little girl in a classroom and the teacher told her to recite the alphabet. And she'd be like, A, B, C, D, E, F, E, F, E.F. Hutton. And then the narrator says, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. And you are going to listen to this remix right now. I believe the title is Rhyme the Rhyme Well versus The Boxer from Rhodey. So if we are having a remix of the week, I guess this is the remix of the week. Versus The Boxer from Rhodey, spelled R-O-D-I, and you can find his remixes over at beastiemixes.com. And I also need your help on another thing we want to do. I sound like Lil Wayne again. Do her on the brouhaha. We're going to have a game. I'm going to try to do it every week called 20 Questions. Called 20 Questions after a Beastie Boys song. And you will find that song on the Sounds of Science anthology. I'm going to ask a very nerdy Beastie Boys fan 20 questions. If they can get all of the questions correct, they will win a special prize. And if you only answer 7 questions correct, and then you get the 8th one wrong, then I'm not going to ask you the rest of the questions. What will you win? You will win a Beastie Boys diorama. A diorama that I did not create when I was in sixth grade. I created this diorama during the summer of 2002. We're talking miniature drums, miniature speaker cabinets, miniature stage monitors, miniature Beastie Boys, miniature Mixmaster mic vinyl. I've had it for years. I don't know what to do with it anymore. And I thought, you know what? There's got to be a Beastie Boys fan out there that can display this in their house. And I only want to give it to someone who deserves it. So even if my friends want to enter this contest, the 20 questions contest, it's not really a contest. We're going to do it every week until we finally give away the diorama. So what you need to do, go to beastiepodcast@gmail.com. Give me your phone number. Let me know if you want to participate, and then I may randomly call you up one afternoon or one evening and ask you 20 Beastie Boys questions. It will start off easy, and then it will get hard. So if you do not know your Beastie Boys stuff, then maybe you shouldn't enter. We're going to take a break right now, but when we come back, you better believe it, Rob Niebling, he will be here. So don't you go anywhere.
With the festive season upon us, Rock Bar News is taking a look back at some of the highlights of 1987. This was the year when rap gained public appreciation and came out of the ghettos and into your homes. One rap group you probably wouldn't want in your home are the Beastie Boys. They toured Europe with Run DMC and caused Volkswagen owners everywhere to lock up not only their daughters, but their cars as well. When the Beasties hit London, we went down to check out what all the fuss was about.
The Brew Ha Ha.
We have returned on The Brew Ha Ha, now joined by Rob Niebling.
What up?
Welcome, Rob.
How you doing, Jim?
You were one of the people that shot it.
I was very lucky to be chosen by the boys themselves. Actually, I lucked upon it, but I was one of the 50 shooters. Or so they say it was 50. I'm not sure if it was 50, but 50 or so shooters, yes.
I was attempting to do the math because at the beginning of the film, it says 50 shooters. And then several times throughout the film, they'll have the grid mode on.
Right.
And I swear that there's like 3 missing, and I think one kid just couldn't work his camera. So I'm saying that there are 61 cameras, 50 amateur, 11 professional.
Okay.
Now, we have to point out, at the beginning of the movie, it says that you shot with love and passion, but you, Rob, you're not an amateur.
This is true. I let them know this at the beginning, but, you know, it's all right, because they got their money's worth, and in the end, Jim, which was actually very, like, I totally forgot about this, but we got paid $125, everybody, to do this in the end. And I totally forgot about that, but I was looking at the email that I got just to refresh my memory on the dealie, and I was like, wow, I actually got paid to do this awesome job.
So did you get a W-2 from the Beasties?
I'm sorry?
Did you get a W-2 from the Beastie Boys?
I did. At the end of the year, I got a W-2 from the, I forget the actual, you know, the production company, how it went through. But yeah, I got the W-2 and I got paid $125 and the whole deal. But yes, I know I am a semi-professional. I work, I do some video as well. As you know, as we have done together in the past.
We have bled and, together before.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
You were at my house before.
I think I shot your brother or your sister dancing or something like that.
It was
before.
My brother and sister-in-law dancing, but we went on a road trip once for MTV2, a crazy road trip where I think it was because of us, Queens of the Stone Age broke up a couple years later, and we gave Chris Martin a surprise birthday party.
That was awesome. That was very cool. Yes, Chris Martin was very happily surprised by, I think he gave him a soccer ball. They played with that on the rest of that tour, I think.
And I think in some videos, they're playing with a soccer ball, and I think it's the soccer ball that we gave them.
Nice.
But we should save these stories for our Coldplay and Queens of the Stone Age podcasts.
Yes.
I'm going to call the film Awesome I Shot That today. We're not going to sound like truck drivers.
Nice. Yes, exactly. I know. It's. I was thinking about that. That's one thing. Yes. Awesome. I shot that. I could. You know. You actually can say that.
But if you now. Slip, if you slip, I'll just edit you later on. So let's go through the process. It is okay. A couple days before the Beastie Boys play Madison Square Garden. I get the email, just like you, if you are on the Beastie emailing list. It said that they're looking for amateur shooters that you can just show up and shoot the concert. I thought about it for a second, because I think the concert was a Saturday night, right?
Wow. Yeah, and you know what? I'm almost positive it was Saturday, because it was either a Saturday or a Friday, but I'm pretty sure it was a Saturday, because I know during the day I wasn't doing anything else. So it must have been a Saturday.
And because I think I saw the email either Thursday or Friday, I thought about it, and I'm like, do I want to tape the Beastie Boys concert, or do I want to enjoy the Beastie Boys concert? And I weighed the decision, and I'm like, no, I'm just going to watch, and I'm going to have fun.
Right.
You went with the other decision.
I did. But that's only because as we just talked about, another love that I have is shooting as well. So to be able to shoot and, you know, be at this concert was like a dream come true. So I was happy as a pig in SHIT. So.
And when the movie came out, I wanted to kick myself because I was like, oh, I should have shot. But I had fun. I had fun at the MSG show. We had Prof D in the house. Smooth was there. T-Bell was there. And Fuzz was there. We had a whole bunch of people. So we had fun. And, I mean, I saw the Beastie Boys a whole bunch.
Where are you sitting?
We were, I believe, in the industry, we call it house right, stage left. And we were sort of, not upper deck, but one level lower than the upper deck.
Okay.
And the only good thing about the night, well, I shouldn't say that. Let me just say the whole night was good. That was one of the best Beastie performances I ever saw. And I've seen the Beastie Boys almost 30 times. When they did Intergalactic, you know how they would go out into the audience?
Yep.
They came out in our section.
Oh, that was it. That's where you guys were. Okay.
Yeah.
I was zooming in from the back from where I was in section 36. I was shooting up there. That was a bit of confusion for everybody. You know,
when they came out for Intergalactic, they're like, where are they? Where'd they go? And everyone knew they were shooting the film. And then when I saw it for the first time, I'm like, we got to be in Intergalactic because we were in that section and not one camera caught my posse.
Dang it.
So the deal is you were like, all right, I'm going to shoot. You sent in an email. And then what happened?
I think I was like the last dude, or one of the last dudes anyway, because it was that morning. I went on the message board, and I just wanted to, you know, check in, see what the peeps are up to, see if there was like a little get together or somebody was, you know, because I was going to meet some friends at a bar before and just, you know, get together, and everybody was going to get ready to, you know, get their party vibe on for the show. So I just wanted to see what was going down, and I saw that thread that said, you know, be a cameraman tonight. And I said, wow. So I went in and it said by like noon today, we will reply to you. And I think it was earlier in the morning. It was like 10 or so. So I quickly replied. I said, I'm in section 36. You know, I do have experience as well, but just whatever, I would love to do it. And then at like 12 o'clock, I got the email back, said, yeah, come on down at 5 o'clock. Meet at, you know, right outside Penn Station, and you know, it's on. So I was totally super psyched. We went down.
So who met you guys outside of Penn Station?
We went down, and it was like, you know, everybody was there. They didn't know what was happening. It was like, oh, you know, okay, this is great. It was a whole mishmash of people, a whole bunch of cool people, you know. And finally, like, people started filming us, and then John Doran, the producer, came out, and he started talking to us a little bit, letting us know what the deal was. They started calling off names. They started calling off everybody from the message boards, but they called us off by our message boards names. And when I signed up, I just signed up as, like, my regular name. I was R. Niebling, because that's my name. just like, you know, that's what, like, my, you know, it's just my initial and my last name. So they were like, Niebling. Like, yeah, that's me. Woohoo. Bring me in. So they finally brought us all in. And then when they brought us all in, it was like right in that back section. And that's where the movie starts.
Yes.
John Dorn starts to talk to everybody. They didn't, they were shooting a little bit outside, but they didn't include any of that in.
Right.
They started the film when everybody was inside. We all got our secret manila envelopes and they all just, you know.
It was official.
It was official.
And John Dorn produced the movie. He is the, at the beginning of this podcast, I call him the cameraman sensei slash Jedi. And then when he said the famous line, you know, one day you guys are going to say, awesome, I effing shot that. Did you know that that would be cinematic history?
I had no idea. And I don't think they knew that that was going to be the name of the movie either. I think that was just all of a sudden it was like, wow, okay. And you know, what's kind of funny is like after he says that, they cut to me as like a reaction shot. And I'm just like laughing, like looking at my hands or something.
But do you remember him saying that? Like, before you saw the movie, did you remember him saying, awesome, I effing shot that?
Yeah, you know, the whole night, I mean, the specific words, I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't actually remember that. I just remember being there. I was just so overwhelmed with, you know, I was just given a manila envelope with, like, secret instructions to do this and this and the other thing. And just being in the, you know, underground of Madison Square Garden in the tunnel in the back and secret area that you'd never been before with all these other people and being instructed to do something that was, you know, I would never thought I would be doing was just, you know, it was kind of overwhelming. It was pretty amazing.
Because I saw you on the movie. You were shaking. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm doing this. But I remember the first time I saw the movie, because I remember you told me that you taped it and you had like a Mexican Spanish wrestling mask. We'll get to that in a little bit. But the first time I saw the movie, I was like, Rob, he made a Beastie Boys movie. And you're in like four or five shots in the beginning scene. Like, you're the dude in the middle. I think you're wearing a brown shirt.
Yeah. You're, I got my you're the brown man that giggles. Shirt on, yeah.
So I'm jealous of you. Cause I've interviewed the Beastie Boys multiple times, but those videos are buried on YouTube and they're in a tape room somewhere, but you are on an official Beastie Boys release.
Yeah, I don't think I could match up to your, you know, just your, what you've had to do with the Beastie Boys, Jim, your closeness and your interviewing and everything like that. I mean, that's pretty special in itself right there. So don't sell yourself short.
But in 3,000 years from now, that will all be forgotten. You're on film, brother.
Well, I did shoot that.
You did shoot that. So let's talk about the secret manila envelope. What were the instructions inside?
Well, the instructions inside, I mean, John Dorn went over with us a little bit, but there were two tapes. There were two, and it was a high eight cameras. And the story that I heard, too, was they got them all at B&H, which is just a place. I don't know if that's exactly where they got them, but they got them at a local place. And then they returned them basically the next day.
So you got two tapes, because that was going to be one of my questions, because obviously a concert is over an hour, so you needed more than one tape. What other instructions were you given?
The other instructions were, you know, basically, how it works, you know, you eject it, you put it in, you hit the red button, blah, blah, blah. Here's the zoom, you know. Very simple, like, how to operate a camera, which they went over with that us a little, you know, a little bit. But of course, you know, that was just like, whatever. But then it was,
you laughed.
For a high A camera. I mean, I was actually I went into like the other menu to see if there were like other things that I could do with it. There wasn't really too much you could do. I mean, it was pretty standard. There was, you know, there wasn't a whole lot. The only thing that I, you know, in retrospect, that really sucked about it, that was like I was in the back and there wasn't much light, so you didn't have that, you couldn't really see too much at a lot of times, which was that was, you know, the only thing with a lot of the high-end cameras. If you look around, you see you really couldn't see too much because it was very, very, very dark. But anyway, getting back to like what they had, it just basically said when the lights go down, everybody hit the red button and then you start. and then it's gonna, and then it'll be on. And just keep rolling, no matter what you do. Keep the camera rolling. And you know, you saw the people going off doing different things. I basically stayed in my section. I moved around a little bit within my section. I saw a few other people that were around back there, but I figured I had a nice wide shot. I was in the back of the floor. Section 36 is on the, I was on the floor, but it was in the very, very back. So I had a nice wide view. I zoomed in a bit, but you know, when you would zoom in a lot, it would get like super shaky. And you know, you see that often throughout the video. You know, I did a few different things with that, but it was a crazy experience, man. I got to give a shout out to young Remy. He was in the section next to me. At the very end, we give each other a little pound. You could see each other. We could see each other in like the grid mode. If you watch grid mode, we give each other a little pound. It was pretty cool, you know.
So Rob, we're gonna take a time out right now. But when we come back, we're going to talk about grid mode. We are going to talk about your video cameo. And we're also going to talk about MCA giving you a shout out in the DVD commentary.
All right.
So all of that when we return on the Brouhaha.
They grew up in New York City, where they soon became bored with high school. And they dropped out to pursue the hardcore punk rock scene. Following their flirtation with punk, they became involved with the emerging rap scene, and their debut album, License to Ill, has been certified as the fastest-selling debut in the history of their label. Now, are these rappers Run DMC, the Beastie Boys, or the Fat Boys? We'll find out when we come back for more Golden Grape.
Oh, yeah, dude. You're listening to the Brouhaha.
Oh, yes. We have returned on the Brouhaha, chatting with Rob Niebling. He was one of the 50 that shot it with love and passion.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's talk about your footage that made it into the film. What are your memorable scenes?
Well, it's hard to say because a lot of, like, where I was back, you know, I was in the back, so, you know, I could see... There's like a few times where I'm like, that's my wide shot. That's my wide shot. Like I got some really nice wide shots, but then of course I passed the camera around to a few people at points and, they shot me as well. So I was where like at one point that I was like, and then I wanted to represent, I know this is a little bit before the pageant, before that, you know, you were supposed to dress and impress and all, but I wanted to, you know, still dress, like, make my mark, basically. So yes. I had my Mexican wrestling mask that I actually got in Mexico, so it's very authentic.
Legit.
And, you know, I just wanted to bring the ruckus a little bit. So, like, when Paul Revere was on, I was like, all right, perfect. I put it on, and I started doing my thing. And I gave it to my buddy that was standing there, and he started shooting me a little bit. So when you see in Paul Revere, I forget the line, but somewhere in the middle, you see the guy with the Mexican wrestling mask. I bust my line. That was me right there.
That was you.
That was me. When I see that, I was like, all right, that's my camera. Very cool.
I made it. Were there any other memorable scenes like that, or was that the creme de la creme?
There was a few shots where, like, I was shooting other people that it's hard to exactly pinpoint, but I'm pretty, you know, it's like, I think that's my camera. You know, I think a lot of people might have, like, a little bit of that, like, okay, is that me? Or, you know, there's some people, like, the dude, like, hey, the DVD, like, that guy, you know, be on the DVD. Like, he's, like, famous now because, you know, he was a DVD guy.
Did they ever figure out who that was?
I don't know. They were talking about that. If you listen to the commentary, they were like, oh, I'm not too sure what that guy looks like, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I don't know if we ever really figured out who that dude was.
Because there was speculation early on that was Spike Jones. But I don't think Spike Jones would have been like upper deck in the back with a high 8 camera.
Yeah. He was kind of, that's what I mean. He was a little bit up back there, but yeah, entertaining, definitely entertaining and cool.
And when you bought the DVD and they went into the grid mode, mm-hmm. would you pause it and try to find your shot?
You know what, when they go in, yeah, I like, it was a little bit tough, but eventually you could find it, like, because I would pan to the right, and I had my crew with me, and then I was like, oh, okay, here's this one, and this. I think I was like, if you look to the in the big grid, I was like to the lower left. And yeah, eventually you could figure it out. It's tough because, you know, it's 50 cameras, and even if you got a super huge screen, it's only like, you know, an inch or so wide, you know, a couple inches wide to like really focus on it. So, I mean, it's cool to look at it as a whole, but to really watch each one, it's definitely, you got to take some concentration and really, really, really look at it. But basically, like when the lights were on the most, that's when you could see, because otherwise in the back, like it was a little bit dark. And that was the one thing that I was, you know, just think just more as a more, you know, somebody who shoots camera a bit and just coming from that, just there could have been more light. Like, if I had a light on it, it would have been.
You're playing at a disadvantage. They put you in a pickle.
Right.
But you still came through. And yeah. I'm sure Nathaniel Hornblower appreciated that.
Yeah,
I'm sure he picked out your angle, and he was like, "That's good. That's good stuff." Now, what were you gonna say?
No, I actually, and I actually went in. They called Doran. I went in. You know, they had a big screening for the whole crew.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a bit. Don't go there just yet. Do you remember what song you had to change tapes?
No, I really.
And did you change the tape quickly?
Of course. I mean, I'm sure I was within, I knew because, you know, even on those high eight cameras, they still had an alert saying, oh, you know, tape almost done. And yeah, I was in and out. And yeah, probably within like a minute, I had a new tape in. But I do not remember what tape that was. But yeah, no, I know. I could see where you're going with this, like that there might have been some missed footage at one point.
Well, I'm just wondering if the Beastie Boys knew what the hour mark into the show was.
Right, so maybe that was like the mix master mic pause from them going back into the... Because, you know, they did say they cut a lot of that mix master mic out when there was the break, when they were going back to, you know, switch to get into guitar and instrumental mode.
Because you would think... Hornblower would go over all of the stuff in his mind before he just gives 50 random people cameras.
Yeah.
So you guys shoot the concert. What happens after the show?
Okay. After the show, we, you know, it was kind of just like they gave us, that was part of the manila envelope. It said meet at like section 52 or whatever it was. I forget exactly what section it was. It was like the first level section. If you watch the DVD, you could actually see me sitting on the floor next to my wife. We're just sitting on the ground with my Mexican wrestling mask on. Other people are still shooting, and it's like everybody met in this one section, and then they all kind of corralled us, and then they took us just in the back and gave us our, because we had to give our IDs, and you know.
So that's how they prevented
people.
You know,
we weren't going to be like, we weren't going to sneak out with the, you know, with the prize footage and cameras and stuff like that. So we had to get our IDs back, and they gave us that, and then they, you know, they let us know that the checks would be coming in a couple weeks, getting paid in a couple weeks, and then you know, that was it. It'd be, you know, they kind of sent us on our way.
Did you go to bed happy?
I did. I mean, we went back and we went to the bar, met my friends back there. It was like such an experience. I mean, that day, everything with that day, just meeting all the other people and being able to shoot all that. I mean, you could just feel, you knew it was something special that, you know, was going on. I mean, just besides, I mean, I love going to concerts, and that was one of the best shows I had ever seen. And being able to shoot it and be a part of it was just, I mean, amazing beyond belief. So
part of history. And then
pretty incredible.
When the DVD came out, and they had Paul Revere, and they showed you in the Mexican wrestling mask, you got a shout-out from MCA, and he said he also met you a few days earlier.
Right. That was because they brought me in. I went to, we had a screening, and we kind of met him there, but it was, like, really quick. They had a screening down in Tribeca, and we all hung, and all the peeps, we got to see it. It was great. It was just us. And then a few weeks later, it came out, or I'm not sure if exactly it was a few weeks, exactly how long, much longer, but it came out a little while later, and I saw it downtown and ran into John Doerr there. And I said, you know, John, if you need anything else, just let me know, blah, blah, blah. So he's like, oh, we exchanged information. And he called me a little while later and brought me down to Oscilloscope. And they did an interview with me just for, they were thinking, I guess, to have some, just some commentary and just some for the DVD, just to shoot some of the other guys, some of the people that shot it for the DVD. And we went down there, and it was awesome because have you seen the extras and when they shoot with, well, you've been down Oscilloscope, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, for Shazam. Have you seen the Shazam video?
Yes. So, and it takes place in that main area.
Right. So that's basically what it all is in there. Like, they brought me in there, and I was like, wow, this is crazy. They brought me into the boiler room, they called it. It basically was the boiler room. It was just the boiler, and they shot me for a little while. Did their interview, and I got to meet, Yak was there. And so that was awesome. I got to talk to him for a little while. We took a picture together. I was kind of flabbergasted, and
were you like, I'm the one with the Mexican wrestling man? That was me.
I was like, yeah, I tried.
Were you cool in front of MCA?
I tried to keep my cool. Of course, he was cooler than me.
Oh,
but
my goodness. I saw Adam maybe 4 weeks ago, just on a random street corner in New York. And I was like, hey, Adam, how you doing? And I'm so angry that I can't be cool in front of the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you know, how can you be as cool as the Beastie Boys?
You can't be.
I don't know if you can, so.
But if it's any consolation, they are the three coolest human beings walking planet Earth.
That's for sure. That is for sure.
Where is that picture of you and MCA?
I got it. I'll send it over to you. It's right. They have some kind of big plant right in the middle there. He's kind of like hiding behind it. He said, Doerr took it, and then Doerr gave it back to me. He said, oh, you did your little Sasquatch move. And Yak was like, yeah.
Wait, what's the Sasquatch move?
And he was hiding behind this like plant that we took a picture in front of.
Now, do you have it framed in your house anywhere?
No, I have it here on my computer and in my heart, obviously. But yeah.
Have you ever used it as a screensaver?
Mm-mm, no, I have not.
What are you doing? What are you doing, Rob?
I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Well, you do what you need to do. We're going to take one more break, and then we will wrap up this episode of The Brouhaha when we come back.
You know what? They got to turn this place into a roller disco later, so they told us.
You know, actually, JC sent me a FedEx.
Ouch. Wow, Mike.
It's weird. I don't know why, but it said that they're going to have a wedding upstairs in a little bit. A wedding. I don't know. Yeah, go ask him. He's out there. He's out.
It's nice we haven't played here in a long time, and this is what you get.
The Brouhaha.
You better believe it, everyone. The Brouhaha is back. We are joined by Rob. Awesome. Rob effing shot that knee bling.
Bling, bling.
And right now, we're trying to get Pootie Tang on an episode of The Brouhaha.
Mm.
Who else should we... I was thinking Pootie Tang, CJ Hood would be fun. Just
right.
from their posts alone.
Right, because if you look into their posts, they are the people that they are the peeps that have the most, and they really know what's going on. I mean, I am a big fan. I've been there actually, for a long time. Basically, the first time I ever saw the BC Boys was they had a channel here called U68. You used to have to tune into the UHF channels. This is I'm dating myself here.
Yeah, you are.
And this is in 1985.
Did you have to change the channel with a dial?
Yeah, with the dial. And this is, you know, you would change it all the way up to 68. We didn't have, I'm from Queens, so we didn't have, you know, cable in Queens. And this is a UHF channel. I was U68. It was all videos all the time. I didn't have no MTV. And every day at a certain time, they just ran a loop of videos. She's On It would come on.
Wow.
And that was the first thing that I was like, wow, this is interesting. So it would be like 3:30. I come home from school. She's On It. I'm like, all right, cool. So that's when I started to get interested, and it just kind of blossomed from there.
Yeah. You were down from their first music video.
Yeah.
And so then you got to shoot their cinematic masterpiece, Awesome I Shot That. Final question. What was your favorite moment of Awesome I Shot That? You go first and I'll tell you mine.
All right. I mean, I know it's kind of, well,
I think I know you might be going where I'm going.
Well, do you want to say visual or audio? Which one?
Yeah, give me both quickly.
The visual has got to be, you know, the girl with Mike T doing her arm.
Exactly.
That, you know, they're all of a sudden, they're rocking it out, and they're back and forth, and then they're on the beach, you know, and they're just, like, feeling it. It's like, oh, come on. And, Mike D, he's not the biggest fan of all that happening, but, you know, he knew that it was such an overwhelming crowd moment that he could not deny.
Well, that's what he told MCA. He's like, I'm upset with you that you put it in. He's like, but we can't take it out.
Right.
And then you have a favorite audio moment?
Well, there's a couple times, you know, when, like, in Sure Shot, just when they did, like, when the Public Enemy beat comes in Sure Shot right there, like, and then the song after that, I don't know the name of it, but if you listen to that whole Sure Shot mix, it's pretty amazing. I mean, just because they flip it up so much. I mean, you know, how we love the Beastie Boy remixes and how they, you know, you get to hear, like, all the beats, like, you know, we can reinvent the songs, basically. Yep. Hearing the song like that, again, reinvented, just was like, wow. It really, really did something for me. That was pretty amazing.
And my favorite part, the Mike D dancing with that girl. And then audio-wise, I love that. I think it might be, like, Mixmaster Mike. I know he makes some beats. It's like a piano beat during Root Down. It's like with a nice little drum behind it. So that would be my favorite audio portion.
Nice.
But Rob, thank you for joining us today. I know you were out on sea. You weren't out at sea today, right? You were just painting your boat.
Oh, yeah. I was out doing, you know, I was sitting pretty in the Hampy Hamps.
Yeah.
Doing some work. Yeah, no, just hanging in the Hampy Hamps, doing some work on the boat out there. So,
but it was a beautiful day.
It was. It was a nice, sunny day. We're in, you know, June here. It's like 75 degrees. It's awesome. So.
And it was a little cool outside, too, so it wasn't overbearing.
Yeah, beautiful.
And before you leave, we are having a weekly game on the Brouhaha called 20 Questions, where someone has to answer 20 correct Beastie Boys questions. So if this interests you, you have to play along. You have to email me at beastiepodcast@gmail.com. And send me your phone number. Well, you don't have to send me your phone number because I have your phone number.
All right.
But if you want to step up, you can.
All right.
So, Rob, thank you very much.
All righty, Jim.
Yep. That will do it for this episode of The Brouhaha. For Rob Niebling, my name is Jim Shear, and I will see you later.
That's it. That's all. That's all there is. Come on.
Yo, we're going to end it. On a 1, 2, 3 note, are you ready? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Ah! Guarantee we bring the brouhaha.
It's a brouhaha.